And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing to be back. And you be seated just for a minute. I'm sure Pastor Film will have us to stand and reverence the reading and the honor of God's word here just a little bit from now. But man, what a joy it is to be back in the Lord's house for several months now. I've been calling our pastor emeritus, Brother Feldman Cheek, trying to get him back up here. And it seemed like one thing and another would happen. He just wasn't able to be here. But I believe that he would have pushed through all adversity in any lackness of strength he may have had, any weakness he may have faced. He was going to push through it to be able to make this day. And boy, what a blessing it is to see his family here. I opened up a passage of scripture in the prayer in the Sunday school room, and then also tried to think about it a little bit during our prayer circle this morning. And I got to thinking about you folks. Y'all are a blessed family. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter number 16, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, that thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellence in whom is all his delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings and blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." Listen at the next few verses. "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou manifested my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage."
Yeah,
bless God, this man's got a goodly heritage. It's not just now, but bless God, it's preceded. It goes back to decades. Before I was born, this man was standing in the gap and making a difference in this lost and dying community all around us. I'm 50 years old. You do the math from his ministry at Pleasant Grove and then the nearly 40 years here. And then I've been here just over 10 years, and here he is, and still standing in the gap. Brother Todd's still making a difference. Lisa and Amber and Aiden and all y'all, he's still making a difference. And what a difference he's made in this community. And what a difference he'll continue to make in the days and weeks to come. Folks, he needs no introduction. He's my hero of the faith. I thank God for him. Brother Feldman, you just remind the Lord today. You preach till you get done, brother.
God bless you.
God bless you, brother. You,
Brother Hall, God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All honor belongs to the Lord. Yeah. I appreciate you doing what you've done, what you're doing. Brother Pastor, I appreciate you. Appreciate what you're carrying on, the work of God here in Calvary Baptist Church in this community.
Amen.
And I've said several times that if anything would break my heart, it would see something to happen to Calvary that would hinder the growth of this church. Amen.
Yes.
I do appreciate it. I thank God for what he's done in the past, what he's doing in the present, and what he's going to do in the future. Amen. Amen. You say, "Preacher, how do you know he's going to do something in the future?" I know he is. He said he was.
Right.
He's going to take us home to glory.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God for that. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I'm not going to waste any time talking. I'm just glad to be here, and I've come to preach to you this morning the message that God's laid on my heart today. I hope that you'll be blessed by it. If you don't, then you'll be blistered by it. Amen. Amen. I told a preacher this week, I said, we must, as pastors and preachers, preach what God lays on the heart of a man to do. Don't lay it aside and push God aside and make like we know more than he does. I pastored for many years, but I till this day, God knows more about what the church need than I do. While I was pastor, God knew more about what that flock of people needed than I did.
Yes,
you say, but preacher, you was around them all the time, every week. That don't give me the knowledge of what they need, because I can't see into the heart. Only God could do that, Brother Pastor. And I appreciate the goodness of God letting me be here today. And you pray for me, and I'll try not to be too long today. The slowest I'm going to be is in the reading of my scripture, because I can't see well. That's the reason I've got the big book, and then I've got the book. Amen. And so you pray for me today as we open the Word of God in the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. And let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning, that God would be honored by it, and we could be blessed by His Word today. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 11, and verse number 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. There's going to be a lot of things that I'm not going to be able to fall back on. But God said, the Bible said that he began to upbraid. That means he began to rebuke them. That word upbraid means rebuke. And he began to rebuke these cities because they repented not. Amen. Now, God's still in the rebuking business today. They may not be many preachers in the rebuking business, but God is still in the rebuking business today. Who is it that he rebuked? Preacher, every one of us that are saved that will not repent of our sin that we have committed before him. He rebukes us. He rebukes that sinner that hears the word of God and fails to repent and believe the word of God. And so he rebuked them because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which is exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, for the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, and it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Let us pray. Brother Gwen Anderson, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer? Amen, amen, amen. Continue to pray if you will, please. And as we look at the Word of God today, I've already told you and shared with you the Word of God and what Jesus done whenever he done these mighty works in these cities and they wouldn't repent. There's a lot of things that I'd like to say today, but I'm going to lay what I would like to say aside at the best of my ability and tell you what God wants me to say. Amen. I preached too many times, Brother Pastor, about these preachers that were go in their prayer room and their study, and they'll study Dr. Tinklin's cymbal and sounding brass and come out telling us what Dr. Tinklin's cymbal said and Dr. Sounding Brass instead of telling us what God said. Well, I've been in touch with heaven this week, amen, and I've got a message from the throne of God that God wanted me to preach. Now, I've always been a preacher. I've never had any trouble making church members mad. Amen. I've never had any trouble making church members mad. But I don't know of a sinner outside the church that's ever been mad at my preaching, brother. Amen. In fact, I've had sinners in this community to come to me and say, Brother Cheek, if I ever go to church, I'm going to go to Calvary because you preach the word and that's where I'm going to go. Amen. And so I must bring to you what God give me from the altar of God today in this scripture. Now, I'm going to preach to lost church members this morning. Yes, I preach here. If they're church members, they're not lost. We've got more lost church members today and this that's ever been recorded. You say, preacher, how do you know? I know the tree by the fruit it's bearing. Amen, brother. I'm not a judge. And folks will say, who give you the ability to judge somebody? I don't have to judge. I can look at your fruit and inspect it, brother. And I know that there's a lot of people in the churches today that's lost and undone without God, that professes they're saved by the grace of God. Now, God brought these, he preached to these people. In fact, in Capernaum, it was a city where his headquarters were set up at. Here in the scripture, Chorazin, Bethsaida was seated close to that. It was in the north, beyond Jerusalem. But it was a place where Jesus spent much of his life preaching and teaching, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind. And as God brought them the word from the throne of God, they failed to repent and get right with God. I don't know of a church anywhere, and I know of a lot of churches. I don't know of a church anywhere that's seen more miracles and the mighty works of God and around Calvary Baptist Church. In the past 50 years, it's been one work after another, mighty work. Look it over and you turn and say, man can't do that. God has to do that. But yet we've got folk that will not repent after they see the mighty work of God. Now then, he's speaking to these people in this congregation. I mean, the congregation is supposed to be believers, folks. That say, I believe in God, but I'm not going to accept you as my Savior. There's a lot of hope today. And we all do. I don't know of a time in my life that I didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was rose again on the third day. I was brought up to believe that, and I believe that. But one thing, Mom and Daddy couldn't teach me, and that was how to be saved. Only the Holy Spirit can bring conviction and teach us, my friend. And he gets in the heart and tells us, unless we do this, hell will be our home. And I'm here to tell you today that God loves you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. Don't never forget that God loves you. He so loved you that he gave his son to die at Calvary, that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. There's not a one in this building, ever been in this building, or ever will be in this building, or anywhere else in the world, that has to die and go to hell.
You're right, preacher.
All you need to do to go to heaven is to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him. And for us that are saved by the good grace of God, you say, preacher, you talk like you're perfect. No, there's not one perfect. No, not one. There's not one righteous. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, preacher, how are you going to heaven then? Jesus said, if you will come and confess to me that sin, Jesus Christ will be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen. God not only will forgive you, but he'll cleanse you of all the unrighteousness, that filthy stuff that lingers on your mind, that holds you back, that keeps you from walking with God, that keeps you from having confidence in God, that'll keep your hand in your pocket while you're in church, when it ought to be in the air praising God. That evil stuff hinders you from worship. God said, I'll forgive you of it. But preacher, don't I need to live 2 or 3 weeks sort of upright and righteous before I come? No, God said you come just as you are. Just as you are. That's the way that you come to him. Just as you are, my friend. The Bible tells us, if any man hear my words and believeth not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Get this, my friend. He that receiveth not my words. You don't have to worry about going to hell. You can go to heaven. How do I do it, preacher? By receiving the word of God.
Amen.
By receiving him.
Amen.
Who died on the cross of Calvary. And everyone that receiveth not my words hath not one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. That's the reason I said it can bless you, or one day it'll blister you. Amen. I believe the fire in hell will blister and burn, and we'll never forget, or you will never forget if you're unfortunate enough to go there. You'll never forget the word of God. You see, you'll never forget that. God said in this life, right now, even today, yea, today, this preacher, God's servant, is standing and telling you what the Bible said. You reject it, and one day you'll burn. Amen. You can receive it today and be blessed by God and go with the saints of God to a bliss city. He said, preacher, I want you to know that I made a profession and I joined the church a long time ago. But did you get born again? There's a lot of people that go through the altar, through the water, and through the church book. But they've not had the blood applied. When the blood is applied, it makes a difference in your life. Amen. God don't come to repair anyone. He don't have any extra parts to take out and put in. God makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. When we're born again, we're to die out to sin and this sinful world. You say, preacher, but I've not done that. You ought to do it. Amen. Because today God is telling you what you ought to do. It's not this preacher. It's God that's telling you. And if you reject God's word, you already noted, but he's reminding you again. One day you'll lift your eyes and you'll burn. I want you to watch this. Amen. You can accept the word today and be blessed. Or one day he'll be your judge in the last day. And that day, if it's the last day, you don't have no other time. It'll be time when we read over in the book of Revelations where that God said, angels, bind them hand and foot and cast them. I mean, they're just not going to drop into hell. Cast them into hell. You say, preacher, God ain't that kind of God. You don't know my God if you don't think he's that kind of God. You've not read the word of God if you don't know he's that kind of God. Preacher, why would God do something like that? He'll do that because the world has trampled him under their feet. Jesus gave his blood at Calvary and we've made a doormat out of it. Walking on it, wiping our ungodly, unfaithful feet on the doormat of his blood. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not a perfect man. No, no, no. But thank God I'm saved.
Amen.
And because, Brother Pastor,
amen, brother.
I'm saved by the good grace of
amen.
God. I'm glad when I sin, Brother Gwen, the Holy Spirit begins to dig around my heart. Brother Kenny, I can't do nothing but run to God because I can't live with that condemnation in me. Amen. You can't live with it. You might like to. You might go 2 or 3 days trying to, but after a while, he'll get you down. Amen. That's just the way it is with a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. You don't live that way. Amen. You can't do it. And then to know that we don't have to live that way. Say, but preacher, I look around me And I see it everywhere. I see church folks living a whole lot worse than I live. Preacher, I see it on the job. I see it in the school. I see how they act. Get your eyes off the world and get them on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. The devil's got many people, many different kinds of people. If it takes a rich man to impress you, he's got a few rich people to impress you. If it takes a drunk to impress you, he's got a few drunks to impress you with. If it takes just an old unfaithful church member for you to look at and say, well, they don't go to church that often, why should I? Just because they don't have a desire don't mean God's took your desire. Amen. We've got folks all around us that's there for the wrong example. The only right example, first of all, is Jesus Christ, the Son of a living God, the one that died on the cross of Calvary. And then the next example are those saints of God that are faithful, that are pushing on when the way is tough, when it's hard, when they're persecuted, when they're talked about, when they're run down through sickness, amen, through suffering, and all of that, they keep pressing on. Amen. Just to be faithful to what God has saved them to do and called them to be. Amen. In this life, if there's anything I want to be when I leave here, I don't care if you don't remember me being a pastor. I don't care if you don't remember me being whatever, but I do care when I leave here. If you get to come by and look at my box, and glory, I don't know if you'll do that. We the same may just ship out anytime. All right. Amen, brother. Glory to God. I'm looking for His coming. It could be today, my friend. But if you have an opportunity, come by and look at this body in a box. I don't care if you don't ever remember that I was a pastor, but I want you to remember that I've tried to be faithful in the storms of life, in sickness and in health. Amen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's been times, Brother Gwynn, I've not been able to go. Last Sunday morning, I got a call. Said, would you come to such and such and preach? Pastor's sick and they've taken him to the hospital. We need somebody. I said, Lord, oh, how this hurts me. But brother, I'm not able. I can't get there. There ain't no way I can preach. And I'd like to cut my heart out. But I said, tell you what I'll do. Most of the time when I'm not able in the morning, I get to feel a little better through the day. And I said, by the grace of God, I'll be there tonight. Hallelujah, Brother Kenny. Last Sunday night, I tried to preach for him. Had a good service. Holy Spirit, the power of God was there. Amen. But did you know there's a lot of people today that'll sit on the bench like a wooden Indian on a stump and you couldn't move with dynamite, much less the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Church, the only way we can get by it is to hear the Word of God. And I want to tell you before I get done, if it's not already taking place, you're going to feel in your heart that something's wrong in your life. Something that you're not doing right. And I'm going to tell you, you can ignore if you want to. Just go ahead and ignore it. I can't make it. If I had a club in my hand, I couldn't make it. I wouldn't if I could. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're not through with God and God's not through with you. You may think that it's over with, but my friend, let me tell you, God hadn't even got started yet if you're not being obedient to His word and doing what He said to. Amen. And I'm not here to make you mad at me. I do that without trying. Amen. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. And I love you, and you don't have to live in sin. I wonder as I read the scripture, Brother Gwynn, no doubt there's in these cities There's thousands of children there, thousands of grandchildren there. And I wonder how many of them died and went to hell because of the way mom and daddy lived, and because grandpa and grandma lived that way. Amen. But I can tell you this, after rebuking the city of Chorazin and Bethsaida, he turned to Capernaum and he said, "Thou, Capernaum, have been exalted unto heaven," not into heaven, unto heaven. In other words, you've lifted yourself up and you've told people you're saved. You drank your beer and you drank your booze and you live ungodly. Some of you right here before my face commit adultery.
Come on, preacher.
And fornication. I preach fornication against it. How God will destroy that sin. How that God hates that sin.
Yeah.
And unto God, young girls and boys go right out from under the message and go out there and commit fornication.
Right,
amen. They ignored the word of God. And the reason they ignored the word of God was because they didn't believe the word of God.
Right,
and some of them didn't have a mom and dad with the grace of God enough, with the spirit of God enough to tell them that preacher's right, that word's right.
Amen.
Don't you do it.
Amen.
Soft pedal word of God in your home. Liberal as a tick on a dog's back.
On,
don't
brother.
Care where he lands and don't care what vessel he drinks blood out of. Amen. That's where a lot of church folks are. Liberal. Liberal, my friend. And God hates liberalism.
Come on, brother.
Don't you tell some of these politicians that. They might send the sheriff to lock me up. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you what's the truth. We need to get back to the Word of God and believe the Word of God and accept the Word of God. Now then, let me explain myself and tell you why that I said I'm preaching to church folks. Folks that think they're saved, not saved. These people thought they was all right. You've exalted yourself unto heaven. But oh, my friend, you're going to be brought down to the hell. Hey, who said that? The devil didn't say that. No. You say, "Preacher, who said that?" Well, I read it in the King James Version.
Amen.
Of the Word of God. Anyway, it didn't change it, you know. It said what it said when it spoke to my great-grandpa,
right.
My great-grandma. It's still saying today what it said then. And it's Jesus that said to that religious crowd that don't love him with all their heart, "You've exalted yourself way up there, but I'm going to bring you down to hell." Amen. And he's saying that to everyone in this building today that's really not born again. And listen, I can't help to believe you know whether you really got saved or not. I made a profession, Brother Kenny, when I was about 12 years old. I remember that profession. I can take you to the church, and in just a few feet where I was sitting beside my mama in a revival meeting, and the preacher gave the invitation. First time in my life I was under conviction. Well, I got up and went to the altar. And by the time they got through with me, I was more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. I didn't know whether to get up, sit down, holler, or what to do. And finally, man came by and said, "Do you believe Jesus died?" "No." "Oh, yeah." "You believe he's God's son?" "Yeah." "Hey, you're saved, man. Come on, you're saved."
Yeah.
I got up, Brother Gwynn. Sunday morning I was to be baptized. And I was raised on a farm. And I was out the barn milking. And I sat there and I said, "Lord, at 10:30, I'm going to go in the water. And I'm going to be baptized. God, I'm not ready for that. I'm lost." And I sat there as a sinner and cried. God, they're going to make a mockery out of your name. But I couldn't, because it was so many people, you know, was excited. And I let that and other things hinder me. And I went on down and went in the water, a dry sinner, and came up a wet sinner. That's what I done, Brother Gwen. But I'm glad the Lord didn't leave me alone. I'm glad, thank God, he didn't leave me alone. One day I was walking up the river road from Staley's Cafe to the old cotton mill. And as I was walking, the wind was blowing. And that road gets dusty every once in a while. And this old white-headed man here had just been born, not many weeks old. Amen. And you know something? God said, son, the way you're living and what you're doing, your son's going to walk in your footsteps. Oh, he spoke to my spirit as plain as he speaks to it today. And I said, oh God, surely not, surely not. I wouldn't want him to live like I lived. I don't want him to go that route. Why? He might wind up in a hell. No, God, hell's an awful place. And I couldn't get to that house quick enough. And I got there. I asked Mama, I said, is Tam all right? She said, yeah, why? I said, I just need to hug him. Didn't tell her a thing. And I hugged him. God didn't leave me alone till he pulled me to church one night. And I was scared to death to go in. I was, Brother Gwen. I parked in front of the door. I parked, pulled up in front, and I could see the congregation down through there. God was wringing my heart out. I went in and sat down that night, three benches from the back, and I can show you where this happened. God wrung my soul out. He wrung it out over hell this time. He will tell you one thing, buddy. I've give you change after change, and I didn't know the scripture's in the book. I didn't know it was in there. I've give you change after change, opportunity, and you rejected me. You rejected my word. You claim you don't believe it's going to happen, but son, it's going to happen. I looked down at my knuckles, and my knuckles was white where I was gripping that bench, and I said, oh God. Devil said, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. You've got too much to do to go up there. But when I made that first step, praise God, it felt like somebody lifted a load of rock off of me. And I was saved coming down that aisle. I knowed it right then. I knowed it, brother. Now, I've not been perfect. I've not even been good. But I've never been lost from that day to this. And if you've ever seen me living a kind of life that don't look right, you let me know. Amen. You let me know. If I'm not faithful to the church, you let me know. If I see my grandchildren not faithful to the church, I can't do nothing about it, but let me know. I want to pray for them. I don't want my grandchildren to go to hell. I don't want my sweet great-grandchildren to go to hell. I want them to live for God. And I want Mom and Dad to show them a way. I want Mom and Dad to pick up the old book and hear God's word and see what God said. And say, children, this is what the book says. This is what Jesus said. And you know something? This is what old grandpa said. And we can't let him down. We can't let Jesus down. And we want to be in heaven with grandpa. Amen. Amen. And I just let me know if you see them living the type of life. I don't know how they live. I don't know how they live, but you let me know. And there's one thing about it. I'll pray heaven down on them. I'll pray conviction down on them. Because I don't want to see them go to hell. Wouldn't it be awful, Grandpa, Grandma, to sit there at the white throne judgment or stand there? Oh, preacher, I'm not going to be there. Yes, you will. You're going to be there as a witness to that world that God has spoke to you and preached to you and showed you his love. But I want to say this to you, saint of God, Grandpa and Grandma, that's sort of halfway living for your children. How you think you're going to feel when your granddaughter comes up to the white throne judgment, or your daughter, that beautiful girl that you raised, or that son that you thought you ought to give him the world and put everything in his hands. Amen. Amen. I think I'll make somebody mad right here. I wouldn't have done my job by it. Don't make some church folks mad. I ain't preached if I ain't made some church folks mad. I don't do it intentionally, but I preached it. That's Calvary here. I've said to these moms and dads, you're more concerned in making a cheerleader out of your daughter than you are a Christian for Jesus. And it's got worse and worse and worse and worse. We'd rather see our young'uns involved in sports and all this stuff than to be a good, faithful Christian for the Lord. I've got a grandson that's in college, and he's in there to play golf. But I'd rather see him lose every golf game he ever tries to play than to win it and not know the Lord and not be faithful. And I want to tell you something. When we turn our back, you get this, grandpa and grandma and mom and daddy, this is where I'm going to make you mad or make you glad. If you don't repent, you'll be mad at me. But you can take your children away from the house of God and take them out of church. And go out there and offer them all this stuff. But not one time did God say that would get them to heaven. And you know what you're doing? You're working to trying to put them around. If they made it, look at the people that has made it. What kind of folks is it? Wealthy, rich, dram drinkers, beer suckers, liars, women chasers. Adultery, fornication, it's all out there. Preacher, I know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about or they're lying on news, on TV. One, of course, they can do that awful easy, you know. Amen. But I've seen it. I've witnessed it, my friend. Amen. And I'm glad today that I tried, me and a little bit, tried our best to keep our children in church. I don't care if there's a ball game. We went to church. Now, there was times that I'd let Jody and Tam both, well, Tam, Jody more than Tam, go to practice on Wednesday night. But I've said to the coaches, you're messing up. Seem like you want to schedule all this stuff right on a service time. And I'm telling you what's the truth. Church, you listen to me. A school that'll work against your church. A coach that'll work against your church and do stuff like that, you should never support him. Right. Amen. Amen. Unto God turn your back. I told you I'm going to make somebody mad.
Come on, bro. That's good.
Some of you are looking at me now like calf looking Newgate. you remember in Newgate, you'd put up in your pasture and them calves come out there and throw the ear out. What's that all about? You know. Somebody said, what in the world is this all about? Why is this preacher? I don't know. Ask God. I'm just giving you what he gave me.
Amen.
He knows your heart. I don't.
Amen.
He knows where you've been and what you've done.
Yes.
And you said, but preacher, I feel so bad. Well, don't worry about it. Thing to worry about is whether you're going to turn it to God or not. Now, I'm going to read you just a couple of verses of scripture. And this old man's done all he can do. And it'll be up to you. In the Word of God, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But preacher, I know some people that, boy, they're making millions. God hasn't talked about that. He's talking about your spiritual life. And on your road to heaven, you're not going to go up. If you cover your sins, don't worry about going to the next mile. You're not going to go the next step.
Mom.
You're not going to prosper in that journey. You're going to get farther and farther and farther away from God. And a man, let me start over now if I can see it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth, now there it is, right there. Are you willing to do that? Confesseth and forsake. You know what that forsake means? It means to repent. Repent. Why did God rebuke these cities? Because they fail and refuse to repent. They refuse to forsake the life that they knew that God wasn't pleased with. It matters not what I'm pleased with, but it does matter what God is pleased with and what He's not pleased with. Now then, they'll not prosper. Listen, what Nehemiah tells us, and I'm glad this is so, and I'm saying it to you that need to hear this word and need to do something about it. God loves you. God loves you. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. Thou art a God ready to pardon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God, the righteous, holy God, look at this filthy felon in cheek and know that I can't go to heaven on my own. But I've not done everything I should have done for him, and I've not honored him like I ought to at times. But I'm glad I hear God say, I'm a God that pardons, son. I'm a God that will forgive.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful that we got a God that will forgive us from our sins? That's what God wants to do to you today. Church members, you remember this one thing. They thought they was going to heaven. And Jesus said, thou Capernaum. And whatever your name is, he's calling it out this morning before the angels. You're sitting here, but it's being recorded in heaven. Do you know that? Your thoughts, your actions, and everything you're doing is being recorded in heaven. And it's going to be on the book till the blood of Jesus covers it. And he said, thou, whoever you are, you've exalted yourself unto heaven. You've tried to make everybody believe you was one of the finest Christians ever was. Why, I even go down the altar and pray for them sinners. Why, I've even held offices in the church.
On,
you've exalted yourself to the high heaven. But God said, friend, I'm going to bring you down to hell. And there's where you're going to find yourself if you don't hear the word of God and believe the word of God. Amen. That's all I know to tell you today. God loves you. God wants to forgive you. And if you're here today, I don't care how many times you've been baptized, how many times you went through the altar, if you know that you're not saved, you come. Don't let church membership, I've said this all of my preaching ministry, if I'm going to hell, I'm going to go to hell from somewhere beside the church pew, brother. I'm going to hell. Now, did you hear Jesus say, get this, reread this, dissect this scripture. Jesus said that because that you fail to believe, you're going down where all nations forget God. I said I was going to quit, but I believe just for the sake of it, I believe I'll read just one more little script to you. You don't care for that, do you? I mean, you'll get out by dinner time. You'll get out by dinner time. Listen, who's going to heaven? Who's not going to heaven? I have the scripture somewhere here. But anyhow, Anyhow, I've got to go a little farther. It's the wrong book. Got to go a little farther. But anyhow, I want to give you this scripture. The Bible tells us who's not going to heaven. You're crazy. The Bible tells us who's not going to heaven. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone. My friend, there's something I want you to get right here. Look at the first part of that scripture. Who is it that's going to hell? Unbelievers. Not that sinner, but that church member that thinks they've been saved and won't believe this message that I'm preaching even today. You'll go home and you'll discuss this thing and you'll have stewed preacher over it and chopped up preacher over it and finally come to the seat. Well, just don't let it bother you. We've got by so far. But one day God's going to bring you down to hell. And this is what I want to say. And I'm really closing this time. You know who's going to suffer more in hell than Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, we curse Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, them dirty dogs over there. Homosexuals. Amen. Queers and baby molesters and all these. Oh, God, it's awful. They ought to go to hell. But God said, I'm going to tolerate more for them than I am for you. Who's he talking about? Look in the first part of that scripture. Unbelievers. Them that won't believe the word of God. Them that's not going to believe this message this morning. Them that I've done made mad this morning. Amen. Unbelievers. Unbelieving the word of God. That's what these cities were. They wouldn't believe the word of God. And God said, I'm not going to judge you. It's not I that come to judge you. I come to save you. You have one that's going to judge you. And that's the same word that's brought judgment and condemnation on you. Amen. That's what's going to judge you. That's what you're going to stand in front of one of these days. God help you. Don't let it be one of these days. I want you to do it today. I'm going to ask the pianist to come, the pastor to come.
Brother Justin, and bring your youth choir up.
And
let's get his life or mine. I want Pastor Feldman to stay right here with me. If you're part of the youth choir, come on, as you stand through your feet all over the house of God, let this message prick your heart and do for you what you can't do for yourself.
Okay.
While he was preaching that message, this song came on my mind. Over and over it kept coming on my mind. His life for mine. This song is the gospel message. Because that's what happened. He gave his life for mine.
Yes, you did, Brother Mark.
The same as you did for you. And
amen,
for
brother.
You and all the rest amen. Of you that are saved. Brother Gwynn, he gave his life for yours. There's no greater love than that. That a man would give his life
amen.
For ours. God as they bless. Sing, I don't care if you're in the youth choir. And you've been singing in youth choir. You've been singing in the youth choir as a lost person. You need to come down here. Come down.
Amen.
But I don't
God
care if you're out here. You need to come up.
God
I've
help.
Two preachers right here.
God help. God help today.
Somebody will be glad to meet you.
Oh, God help today. Lord Jesus, do soften
as
the hearts.
Sing, anybody, anywhere,
God, please soften the hearts.
How about anybody anywhere?
His heart was broken, mine was
smitten.
He became sin, now I am clean.
The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free.
shed his blood to fill my soul.
My friends, there's not just one or two that needs to do business with God. I've called this man off and on a time or two, and I hiss out, I just can't come. The time is not right. I just can't come right now. My help won't allow. Brother Quinn, there ain't a demon in hell that wasn't above to stop this man from coming up here today. There's not a demon in hell that if they could have it, and they don't have that kind of power. The only power they got was God gave them. They didn't have the power to disrupt, to hurt this man. God said it was his day, this is his time. He said, preacher, this is a youth service. This is Youth Sunday. What a message to the young people.
Amen.
Folks, that message to the young people still resonates the same as it did 50-plus years ago. I'm going to let it keep saying that somebody else might need to do business with God. Listen, folks, this is all God's time.
Amen.
I just ask you to be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself before God. He already knows. Just be honest with yourself.
Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross, let it die.